We welcome you to the NovaCare Complex on this Wednesday morning. Dave Spadaro with you. It's Eagles Live. We've got a busy one for you today. The coordinators meet the media, Bill Davis and Pat Shurmur, and Chip Kelly in studio as well. Let's get to some of the headlines as the Eagles get ready for the Denver Broncos on Sunday. Big one for the Eagles against the undefeated Broncos. Eagles defense on the spot. Got to play big against Peyton Manning and that potent Denver offense, Michael Vick. Ready to go against Manning. Quarterback versus quarterback once again. Patrick Chung did not practice yesterday because of a shoulder injury. We'll find out today his status as the Eagles offer their first update from an injury standpoint of the week. Coordinator day here, and on Sunday, the coordinators on display in Denver as the Eagles look to get back on the winning track. Third straight game against the AFC West. Let's take a break now. When we come back, Chip Kelly joins us in studio here. Eagles Live continues on the other side.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Maybe I should get that.
Maybe you shouldn't.
Brian Urlacher?
I'm back to defend you from DirecTV's latest offer. With DirecTV, your bill more than doubles after a year.
Not cool.
And they lock you into a 2-year contract that could cost you over $3,000.
That's a lot of cheese.
That's why the smart play is Xfinity.
They've got everything a football fan could want. Go long. Don't get sacked by DirecTV.
Oops.
Xfinity is your home for the most live sports. Call 1-800-XFINITY today.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, $1 Million Spectacular, with five top prizes of $1 million. It's kind of fun to knock it out of the park. Keep on scratching.
Hey, Eagles fans. Stop by your local Acme markets and make a charitable donation of $1 or more. When you do, you will receive an Eagles keychain schedule. All proceeds will be donated to the Eagles Youth Partnership and my foundation, the Take Flight Foundation. Acme Markets, the official supermarket of the Philadelphia Eagles and proud supporter of Philadelphia area kids and their families.
Cancer can move fast, but Jefferson is keeping our patients ahead of it. With the fastest growing medical oncology program in the region, treating cancers with a team of multi-specialty experts who work together to provide seamless care. Helping us earn NCI designation and widespread respect. Cancer has a strategy. Divide and conquer. That's why we give our patients our undivided attention.
Discover the difference Jefferson's Kimmel Cancer Center makes. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
These days you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows. We welcome you into our studio. Dave Spadaro joined by Chip Kelly. Our exclusive one-on-one presented by Gatorade Coach. A big one on Sunday against the Denver Broncos. Let's start with the weekend that passed. You had a longer weekend without football. Was that a time that you used to self-scout, to look at the first three games? How did you use those 3 days?
We were in the day after the game and graded the tape from the night before and then moved on to the Broncos. Had a couple couple preseason games and then their first two regular season games. They didn't play their third game until Monday night, right. So we had to wait for that. But it was just kind of normal what coaches do after a game and then finish what the last game was, grade it, make corrections, and then move on to the next game.
Did you feel like you got a chance to catch your breath? Or I mean, you really don't seem that, you know, bothered or concerned or even worth conversation about the schedule the first three games.
I think the schedule is the schedule. I mean, you get it in April, so you can lament and complain about it, I mean, or embrace it or whatever. I mean, we just whatever the schedule is, we always are concerned with what can we control. And we don't control who we play and when we play them, so that's not a big concern of ours. And so let's just go play football.
You want this team to be aggressive. You preach aggressiveness. At the same time, you don't want mistakes. So what's the message after, you know, a game where you had some turnovers against Kansas City?
Yeah, we made mistakes, and those are fixable. But I don't think preaching aggressiveness or playing aggressive has anything to do with mistakes. You know, I think that they're not two things that are linked together, that if you're going to play aggressive, that you're going to make mistakes. I don't think there's no correlation between that. I think it's fixable mistakes, and we started yesterday back out on the practice field in our training session, correcting the mistakes we made on Thursday and putting in a game plan for the Broncos.
What do you take from the first three games to use positive moving forward?
I like our effort. I like how hard our guys are playing. You know, obviously, that's something that, you know, if they don't have a statistical category on it, but if you can lead the league in effort, then by and large you're going to end up on the W side instead of the L side. So I like where our effort is, and I think, again, our mistakes are correctable, and that's our job as coaches.
Chip, where do you think, how close are you with the offense? I mean, I know you have incredibly high expectations, and how close do you think you are to where you want to be?
I don't really grasp questions like that because there is no close. There's never going to be a day when we say, that's it. You know, we're good. Let's go kick our feet up and take a couple days off. You know, it's always a work in progress. We always look at it as 1 week as a season. So, you know, we have a 1 week season. You know, we got 1 week left in our season. It's the Denver Broncos this Sunday, and our sole focus is on that.
Denver 3-0, big win on Monday night against the Oakland Raiders. Peyton Manning, the topic of conversation this week, of course. You've studied him. What makes him so great?
We don't have enough time in this show. Intelligent, accurate. A big physical specimen. You know, he's got the size attributes you're looking for. Obviously, just a tremendous thrower. I mean, he can put the ball in small spaces. He's got repetitive accuracy. And then he's just so intelligent playing the position. And the scheme that they have allows him to make all the decisions at the line of scrimmage. So, you know, you're going to see the whole thing on Sunday.
I imagine teams have done everything that you can think of over the years against Peyton. There's no surprises he's going to see.
No, and when you've been around as long as he has, I don't think you're going to surprise him, and I don't think that's anybody's plan going into it. But I think you have to put a plan in place. You need to be sound. You need to tackle really well in open spaces because they do spread you out. And get Welker and Thomas and Decker out in open spaces. You got to make sure you negate the run after the catch, and then you know, see if you can force them into situations where it becomes a longer down of distance and it's tougher for them to convert.
They do not have Von Miller on defense. It does not seem to bother them through 3 weeks. What do you see from that defense?
Yeah, it wasn't just a one-man defense. Obviously, Von Miller is one of the top pass rushers in this league. But they still have a bunch of guys, Phillips and Ayers, at the defensive end. Their linebackers are playing really, really well. And they're doing a good job of coverage behind it. So it's a combination, like anything, when we talk about all the time. Defense takes a lot of guys. They're obviously down one, but the other guys have really done a really nice job and stepped up. In their first three games, I think their defense played well.
This is known as a very hostile environment. I mean, this is a great challenge for you guys to be on the road in Laos. This is what you've been practicing for since April.
Yeah, and we embrace it. You know, I think there's something to that feeling of going on the road, and it's just kind of you guys, and let's go, you know, let's go see what we can do. It's a great opportunity for us, and we're excited about the challenge.
Chip, the NFC East has not separated. You know, the Cowboys are 2-1, 1-2 here, 0-3 in Washington and New York. Pay attention much to what's happening around the division?
Not really, and it's three games in. And what we try to do is always focus on what we're doing. So, you know, we don't make a mistake and say it's okay because someone else made a mistake. It's let's take care of what we can do and pick our heads up after the December 29th and see where we are.
Coach, this offense continues to evolve. How much have we seen from your playbook? I mean, how does it kind of work? How do you kind of roll that out over the course of a season?
It just depends on who you're playing, you know, and what works well against certain schemes they have. What Denver does defensively is different than what the Redskins did defensively, which is different than what the Chiefs did defensively. So you'll see some new things in the Denver game, but that's not unlike any team in the NFL. I think there's always tweaks and adjustments that are made based upon who you're playing and what the situations are. So, you know, we've got enough offense, we feel, that can carry us through a season, but you're not going to run everything that you have in your entire playbook in one game because there's just not enough time, not enough plays.
Did you see progress from the defense against Kansas City?
I did. I thought our defense did a really, really good job. They were put on the field in some real adverse situations You know, because of the turnovers, you know, we fumbled a punt inside our own 10-yard line. You know, the holding to a field goal in that situation was a real good job by our defense. I thought our defense played with great effort, ran to the ball. They still need to do a lot of things better, but I think there's a progress being made on that side of the ball.
It's the Eagles and it's the Denver Broncos on Sunday. We thank Coach Chip Kelly for joining us in the studio. Presented by Gatorade, one-on-one exclusively on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Technology up here. All right, guys. I know our guys are happy to be back training. Looking forward to the challenge of playing Denver, who's obviously they're an outstanding football team. And we got to play our best ball to go out there and beat them. So
that's what we got. I'll be happy to answer your questions.
What have you seen from the O-line so far? It seemed like last week there were a couple of breakdowns and let up a few sacks. How would you evaluate their performance so far?
I think the guys are battling hard. I think last week we faced an outstanding front. You know, they challenge you quite well on the edges because of who they are on defense. And, you know, I think our whole team battled. You know, certainly we need to play better at all positions. But I think as a unit, they're playing well together.
What about for Peter specifically? It seemed like that wasn't his best game last week.
No, I wouldn't say that. I think he, again, he battled. And he was trying to block one of the outstanding rushers in this league. And so there's some good plays. And then every once in a while, you have a bad play. You know, and he was dealing with a little nick on his hand. And so he's doing fine.
Bob, what do you see as the greatest strengths of the Broncos defense?
Well, first of all, I think they've got outstanding personnel. Certainly they're missing a dynamic player. But on the edges, I think they're doing an outstanding job. I think Wolf, you know, I think Phillips, and then I think Ayers are doing an outstanding job on the edges, you know, whether it be stopping the run or pressuring the quarterback. They do a good job of playing man-to-man coverage. They've got good defensive backs. And then I think inside, I think Woodyard is one of the better middle linebackers that you're going to see in the league. They're youthful in a lot of spots. They run to the ball. They play hard. And they fit defensively what they do on offense. And I think that makes them a challenge.
Are you prepping as if Bailey's going to play? Or?
Yeah, you know, I think they've got to juggle around their secondary. They had some injuries the other night. We're going to play against whoever shows up, but they're going to have maybe a little different crew out there than what they have had this last couple weeks.
Did they switch things up front any different with Vaughn not being there?
No. I think last year they, you know, Vaughn and Doomerville are not in, you know, this year. But, again, they went out and got Phillips, and then Ayers is an outstanding player. They list him as a backup, but he could be a starter for a lot of teams.
Have you guys got your tight ends involved in the offense as much as you'd like through these first three games?
Yeah, I think so. You want to see the ball spread around. I prefer that. And the way we play offense, that happens quite a bit. And so we feel like they're getting their production.
It looked like Kansas City was really determined to take the Sean out of the game or at least bring that safety over top. When that happens, what do the other guys need to do to be more effective?
Well, I think, you know, certainly it's important for teams to try to stop the run. And that's first and foremost. We were able to run the ball. With Deshaun, you know, I don't see it that way. You know, they were playing man-free coverage, and we got the ball to them. So, you know, it's hard. You know, if we can maintain a balance on offense running the football and then we can stay efficient and explosive throwing the ball, then it's guys just got to play.
Any thoughts of getting Demaryius Johnson a little bit more involved on the offensive side, and what's the reason why he's had, I guess, limited snaps on offense?
Well, you can talk about all of our backup or role players in the same way. You know, who do you take off the field? You know, same thing could be said for the tight ends. But Demaryius, when he's gotten in there, has done a nice job. But we feel like the guys that are playing, the frontline guys right now that are playing, are doing a good job as well.
Was talking yesterday about maybe facing DRC in the game, being matched up against them. Do you expect those two to see each other much? And what does DRC do well that you've seen?
Yeah, I anticipate they'll play against each other, at least a portion of the game. He's he's one of the outstanding talents in this league. He runs extremely well. He can get in your hip and run with you, and he's got outstanding ball skills. So, you know, all the same things that he had before he went to Denver, you can still see on tape.
Does time of possession become a factor in a game like this, you know, when you want to keep a guy like Peyton Manning off the field as much as possible?
Or? We just got to play. We got to play. And when we, on offense, we've got to move the ball and score points. You know, a lot's been made about how many plays. We don't worry about how many plays we're going to run. We got to score more points than the opponent. And however we can get that done, we have to do it.
Now, you said the frontline players are playing well. What are you seeing from Riley Cooper in particular?
Well, Riley's a number one. He's one of our toughest guys. When we throw him the ball, he catches it. He's an outstanding blocker. And he brings great emotion and energy to the game just because he loves to play the game. And so, you know, he's, if we're going to be a good football team, the receivers have to block, and he does a very nice job of that. And I think he kind of, you know, he kind of sets the standard with Jason Avant. And then, you know, we saw even Deshaun get tangled up with guys the other night. So, you know, that's what he brings.
There was a ton of mistakes and turnovers and sacks and things like that against Kansas City. Is that something that's more on the line or more on Mike to do a better job at reading defenses and going there?
Ton of mistakes. Those are your words, right? We had some mistakes and some things we got to clean up, and I think every player in all the position groups had things that they can do better.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Your overall third down percentage has been pretty good, but third and five and or more, I think you guys are like 2 for 21. Is there a common thread there why you're having trouble converting longer third downs? Or
typically, when you go back, and we've all done it, you know, you evaluate third downs, it's really never one thing. You know, the throw may be off, you may drop the football, the quarterback may have gotten pressure. But the key is for us to stay on the field. And, you know, just by the way the numbers work out, you want to have shorter third downs than longer ones, because as the distance goes up, of course, they're tougher to make.
Michael Vick obviously has a lot of passion and motivation.
Sure.
But do you think when he plays against a guy like Peyton Manning, who's considered by many the best who ever played the game, it maybe has an intangible effect of pushing him to an even greater level?
I don't know. I don't think Mike's wired that way. I think Mike just wants to go out and compete and do what he does well. I think he's more interested, you know, and that would be a better question for him, I think. But I think when I watch Mike, now that I've been around him now for 6 months or more, I just see a guy that wants to compete and do a good job. And then we'll let you folks do the comparison afterwards.
You mentioned Jason Avant. Brent Selleck's another veteran who's taken to the scheme. What have they done to evolve since the time that you've come back here to Philadelphia?
Well, they're two of our most dependable, most trusted players, and they've taken to everything that we've done. They've embraced the behind-the-scenes sports science of getting their bodies right. And, you know, I kind of go to them as we, you know, typically throughout the week and see how they're feeling. So their leadership behind the scenes has been outstanding. They've been doing a good job on the field as well. And they're just steady veteran players that we can all count on.
What does Lane need to do better?
Well, I think Lane's really playing pretty well for a rookie. It's not easy. It's not easy to play that position. And he got beat a couple times the other night, which happens. The good thing about Lane is he's tough, he works hard, and he's got the skill and ability to play the position he's playing. And so he just needs to keep grinding. You know, it doesn't sell many books when I tell you we just got to keep working at it. But that's really what it comes down to. And guys that are young players doing this for the first time in this league, you know, you're gonna miss a couple times. But the key is how you respond to it. It's like turnovers. They're going to happen sometimes. How do we respond when they happen? And I think that's what we look for in Lane as he becomes a veteran player in this league. How does he handle those misses? And he's done a good job to this point.
Delaying their rush, maybe coming a little further outside, hesitating, and then coming at him after
who
like
said that?
Lane.
Oh, did he?
After like a couple seconds. If when that happens, if that's the case, what does he need to do? What are his keys in order to
Well, I think that, you know, that you get matched up in a game, and for most of the plays, you're kind of matched up with the same guy, and so then they start to change up their moves. They'll bull rush you, then they'll try to speed rush you, and then they'll try to delay to get you to maybe lean or, you know, or jump. And typically, young players, you know, become a little bit more aggressive once in a while, get you to lean and then beat you quick. So, you know, it's just that game that everybody plays. And as you get used to the matchup of the guy you're playing throughout the game, you got to counter the moves that he gives you.
LeSean McCoy in the second half, I mean, it seemed like he hurt his ankle pretty bad before halftime, and then coming out and doing having the runs he did. I mean, what do you kind of make of season?
I think he's done a great job. I think he's producing extremely well. You know, he's securing the football in a way that we like to see. And he's a really fine player, and we just hope that it continues, that he's able to get the same kind of production that we're getting out of him.
Mike talked about in the one interception where he knew which direction he should have gone with the ball. And
which one, the first one or the second one?
It was
one?
The first one where okay. He had it. Someone isolated out on the left side and decided to go across just the middle instead. He said he just needed to trust his instincts. He would never do that again.
As you go through life, we all develop our list of things we'll never do again. Yeah. You guys are laughing. You got that same list? I got that list.
In terms of trusting his instincts, I mean, is that a common theme when turnovers
sure.
do come to mind?
Yeah, you know, you need to trust your training. You need to trust your instincts. And the quarterback, you know, we focus on his decision-making on every single play. And every once in a while, you may have a decision-making error. And there were a lot of other things going on with that play, and Mike did a good job of explaining it, but there's other things that other players could have done better that might have not had that be a pick six.
Now, Chip said last week you're his replay guy in the booth, so to speak. You're the one kind of telling him what he sees. What's that process upstairs?
Well, I'm up there with a bunch of other coaches, and then, you know, I don't always have the greatest view of it, but we kind of put our minds together up there, and then in a situation where it warrants a challenge, or we say, hey, coach, you ought to think about doing this, then we give them that information.
What's your philosophy on that? I mean, do you think you should challenge if there's a chance of an overturn, or do you want to see, like, okay, this is a slam dunk?
I think we want to, if we see visible evidence to support the fact that we may, you know, win on the challenge, then we want to do it. Unfortunately, there's a lot of times in the game where you're thinking about it, and for whatever reason, you don't see it. It happens mostly when you're on the road, you know. I say that tongue-in-cheek. If you don't have the evidence to support it, then you just can't do it, you know. And then I don't want to lead, you know, Coach Kelly off the bridge by giving him bad information, because there are times when you just can't. There's times when he on the sideline can see it better than I can, because it's right in front of him. Then there's other times when, for whatever reason, we get some more information up top that can help him with his decision. So each situation is different. You know, I think, generally speaking, we want to be aggressive here in everything that we do. And if we see something that we think can get overturned, then we'll try to challenge it.
Do you get any feed that's different than what we're getting?
I don't know what you're getting. Huh? You see what we see? Yeah. You good?
Yeah.
All right, guys.
All right, that is Pat Shurmur, Eagles offensive coordinator. We will hear from Billy Davis, Eagles defensive coordinator, in just a moment as well. He's talking, obviously, about Peyton Manning.
You helped game plan against Peyton Manning at the end of last season. What changes are you seeing from him from the end of last year to where he's at the start of this season?
I think what you're looking at is a second year in a system where Peyton is running it, and the players around him are understanding it thoroughly. And you're watching a system right now offensively that really is hitting on all cylinders. They are very efficient. They're executing their offense to a very high rate right now. The running game's going. Peyton is distributing the ball all over the place to the open receiver, to whatever coverage you're presenting. So I think you just see year two of guys settling into a system and playing together and really working together.
So the teams that do relatively well against them, what do they do?
You know, I've studied a lot of different defensive coordinators and how they tried to stop Peyton, and this offense is carried over from Indianapolis. I think the biggest thing about playing well against Peyton Manning is really, it's a simple thing, is that the executing of your techniques within your call. He has seen every coverage you can throw at him. He sees disguises and people holding on to their two shell and dropping down late every week. Everybody's always got something. The teams that beat him executed a very high rate their defensive techniques, and they get the turnovers. Turnovers are a part that if you're going to have success against a Peyton Manning offense, or slow it down at least, turnovers are a huge part of that equation. He hasn't turned the ball over. So, again, they are really operating at a high efficiency.
Guys who were part of a team here, I guess in 2010, mm-hmm. that did pretty John, well.
Yeah.
Kurt played in that game, Nate played in that yep. game, Trent. Anything to gain by that film? Obviously, a lot's changed. But, I mean, they did pretty well against them in that game.
Yeah, we talked a lot about that last year in Cleveland with Coach Duran, who was part of that staff, that was part of that. And we put a plan together largely off of what they did in Philadelphia with Sean McDermott. So I've studied that plan thoroughly and implemented parts of it. And really, you go back and look at all the teams that have had success against Peyton offense, and you try to see what they do, and they're all running the same coverages. There's really nothing new. You're not inventing coverages out here, but it really is about how you're putting some pressure on them, that you have to get around him and not let him get in rhythm like most offenses, and then the way you play your coverages, you have to be on point, and you've got to be where you're supposed to be and doing it technique the right way in order to have success against him.
He makes more changes at the line of scrimmage once you've set up than any other quarterback.
Absolutely. He's a coach on the field that is saying, okay, here's your look. I'm going to put our offense in the best position and the best play. And then even within that play, if it's a pass play he chooses, he knows the coverage and he knows the weakness of that coverage. Every coverage you call is designed to take something away, but you give something else up. Sometimes you take away the run, but you give up some you weaken yourself in the passing game. Well, Peyton has a great understanding of what that defense is strong at and weak at, and he just puts the ball where you're letting them put it. He takes what you give him down after down, and then they do a great job of running after the catch. So our tackling is a big part of this, the success of this game, as well as playing our techniques.
When you talk about the way that he's executing the offense, I mean, they really have four premier pass catchers, the three receivers, and now also the tight end. What kind of problems does that present for a defense when you're trying to figure out which one that you want to stop?
Well, usually you have a main guy that's the part of the offense, you know, a star that you can load up and take him away. Peyton makes you defend the field. He's got all his guys. There's a bunch of very high-quality skill position, and he distributes it equally. There's not one person he favors. He takes what the defense allows him to take, and those guys do a great job of catching the ball and then making plays after the catch. So we've got to defend the field.
Walker specifically, I mean, he's been so good in the slot for now two teams. I mean, what does he do that's made him so good in that position?
He's got great quickness and understanding of defense. Again, he's got a great football IQ. He manipulates the zones. He, too, reads the zones, and he knows the soft spot in the zone, and he's very quick and shifty. So if you're in man coverage, he's turning you around and really attacking the leverage that you're playing with. And in zones, he knows where the soft spot is in zones. And that comes to, you know, 8 or 9 years' experience of playing with Brady and now Peyton, where he's really the key guy in their 11 personnel in that slot spot.
How do you get your guys to not be in awe of a guy like that, go on the field and do what they're supposed to do and play their game when they know they're looking at a first-team Hall of Famer, a first-ballot Hall of Famer?
Well, one of the great things about coaching or playing in the NFL is these challenges. A week like this where you're playing against really the best quarterback on the planet right now, the way they're playing, high efficiency that they're playing at. And the players and coaches both, we have pretty solid egos ourselves, and we're not going to back down from any challenge. And our players in the locker room are very anxious to accept the challenge, and let's go see what we can do against a great offense. They've earned all the respect they're getting. They've earned all the accolades. They are really doing a good job. And now we get an opportunity to go and try to stop that progress they're making.
in the past time when you had a scheme as either a coordinator or as assistant on staff that really did seem to work against him?
Well, in Arizona, we held him to 7 points in the first half, and we really felt good about what we were doing. He figured us out, and it ended up being 31-13 or something at the end of the game. We lost. So there are moments that you I guess you can never relax against Peyton because you have four quarters to play against him no matter what the score. And he is constantly grinding on figuring out what you're doing. And you can fool him for a little while, then he figures it out. Most people try to move the target on him a little bit, change up what you're doing. At the end of the day, though, whatever it is you're doing, whatever that coverage is, the execution of that coverage kind of overrides you moving it around to where he can't figure it out because he has seen all of them. He's played so long, there's only so many ways you can, you know, deploy your coverage. And when he figures it out, he knows where to go with it. And that's the challenge with Peyton.
What stands out to you about that game? I mean, what were you thinking about trying to do going in? What didn't work?
Well, without giving it, I don't want to go too much into detail on that, but I've looked at it hard and I've looked at people who have had success and trying to take away the things I did learn without sharing them with you because I don't want to give away any part of our plan. But I learned a lot of lessons in the two times. We were in San Francisco and played them pretty well too. But there were different things and elements that we took from that. But basically at the end, and I looked at all the notes from after the game, it basically came down to when we executed our coverages the way they're supposed to be executed, we succeeded. And when we didn't, he finds your mistakes. And I think that's probably his greatest attribute is finding where you go wrong.
Exotic and trying to defend him rather than just playing
absolutely
fundamentally sound.
Absolutely. And I think that's part of the mystique that goes with Peyton. You try to get too cute and you get away from technique football and advantage to him. So he really does have people on their heels, but you just have to have a confidence about your scheme, a confidence about your ability, a really single-minded focus on getting your technique done one play at a time and just play as well as you can play one single play at a time and don't get outside of ourselves, and I think we'll be fine.
In the past few weeks, Bill, Donnie Avery and Royal beat you with the run after the catch and some of the soft stuff underneath and getting blocking downfield. What went wrong, and how do you fix that?
There were two third and longs. You'd love to be in third and 17 and third and 19. They ran a simple wide receiver screen underneath, and they blocked all the other receivers. We simply had to get off blocks and make plays. They ran it twice. We talked about it after the first one. Denver also runs that very same wide receiver screen. It's just an underneath screen. It's like a lot like a running back screen. Same thing with running back screens. When you have numbers back, it's just about getting off blocks and making the tackle before they get to 16, 17. You know, they call it on long yardage. We didn't get off the field on those plays. They out-executed us on those two. It's not a schematic problem. It's not even – we just have to – those two plays, they were better than us.
There's a lot of talk about the first 3 weeks. What do you guys need to do better specifically in the secondary?
It's the same things about what we have to do against Denver. We have to play our individual techniques better. We are – right now, if you look at the first three games defensively, there are times that we play third down very well, and there was times we played it awful. There's times we've been in a red zone and been great. We've responded to adversity last week, and it was off the charts. I was so proud of the guys, the way they went out there and handled the adversity and turned it into a positive force. Then there's times we don't. We are too inconsistent in every little phase right now. We're still in that growth process where we have to play the techniques of every coverage better than we're playing them, and probably the better word is more consistent than we're playing them. And as soon as we hit that consistency mode, we're going to be right where we want to be. I mean, right now, we're too inconsistent.
They seem to want to run the ball, too. I mean, nobody really talked to them. They got some good backs, and they seem to want to establish that, so people can't just drop everyone back. How important is it to take that dimension out when you're devoting so many resources to Peyton?
Again, Peyton right now at the line of scrimmage is checking in and out of run games and pass games on what you present to him. And when he runs the ball when you give the most the best chance for his run to work. And that's what you move in and out of. And I think right now, like I said, they are very efficient. And he is putting him in those plays. And when you have the light box, he's running the ball. When you have the heavy box, he's throwing the ball. Sometimes he's throwing you off and different. You could have a heavy box and he'll still run it. But he's really calling the plays at the line in a great fashion. And we have to stop that run equally well as a pass.
You said that you know, there's nothing really new you can do in terms of coverages. Is there anything different you can do in terms of disguises? I mean,
every week, Peyton faces guys that give him different disguises. Every week, people try to do different things. I know a couple of years ago, Coach LeBeau, and it was kind of the vogue against Peyton to wait to 9 seconds or left on a play clock, and then you show your hand from there. Peyton has seen it all. He has a whole plan, and as you watch them, the more you disguise and so shells, the more the quick ball comes out to the guy that's faking high, like he's in a cover two or a quarter, and he runs down to get his low flat or his man, and it's a 5, 6, 7, 8 yard gain because it's caught. So you've got to be careful in how much you disguise and don't disguise. It can't be all disguise. It can't be no disguise. Again, it's a mix. The challenge that we have is to mix up our looks, our disguises, our pressure, our non-pressure, and try to keep him off balance. And that's a heck of a challenge because he's seen so much.
What do you think of Vinny Curry?
Vinny had a good day. He had a good day. He's a good pass rusher. He really is. And he's getting better at the two-gap stuff. So we're excited about Vinny. And each week, you know, different things go into it. But Vinny had a nice game. Had a couple of nice pressures. Yeah, there's a good chance he is. Again, those are decisions. The active, inactive is really right at the end of the week. And he's in the conversation either way.
Play generally deep, usually at snake, but he plays very deep on most snaps. Is that why is that, and can that, you know, influence, you know, plays at him getting to a play in time?
The depth of the safeties varies with call, and sometimes we are playing too deep. I'm trying to tighten that down a little bit, and sometimes he's at the right depth. So the call will vary, and what we're getting, you know, again, what is presenting to us. Sometimes if we're getting a lot of the deep overs or vertical passing game with max protection, we'll deepen those guys up in order to make the plays on the deeper ball. If we're getting more of the shorter, quicker stuff, we'll tighten them. So that varies by plan, by call.
A lot of injuries on that offensive line. Why have teams been unable to take advantage of that? Is that the quarterback?
It's Peyton. The ball's out so quick. You know, he's very aware of the strengths and weaknesses. He sets a protection. He knows where he's protected and where he's not. You've got to win those one-on-ones is really the key. But Peyton slides his protection where he wants it. He manipulates it off the look, and then he gets the ball out quick. You know, it is a high efficient. That's why he's so efficient against the pressure, is you can pressure, you can have an unblocked man on Peyton, and he's still going to get it off. And he's got the height and the vision, and he's got he's a total package right now.
You mentioned the two. I know you're 2 years removed, but what do you remember about coaching Dominique Roger Cromartie in Arizona?
Dominique was a young player. He was a rookie. He was very quiet, actually, when we had him. He was trying to find his way through the NFL. Very quick, very explosive. You know, probably the best burst of any corner that I've been around. Great ball skills. You know, Dominique as a young player was exciting to coach and fun to be around.
You mentioned the 2010 game when the Eagles played the Colts and Sean McDermott's game plan. Is there anything you can – you said you studied that. Is there any, without giving away any X's and O's, anything that you can share with us that you – picked up from that you liked or that you think is good? Or
again, they executed well, and they within their scheme, I think they presented Peyton some looks that he wasn't familiar with, and I think it slowed him down a little bit, and I believe they had a couple turnovers that helped. And again, it comes back to if Peyton will turn the ball over, and he hasn't yet, it levels the playing field. Like most anybody, it's not just Peyton, it's anybody, but really when somebody's this efficient, the turnovers and getting them to punt and getting our offense the ball is the key.
Last one. Do you expect to have Patrick Chung soon?
I don't know. It's up in the air. You know, right now he took a big jump from yesterday to today, and we hopefully every day is the jump that he had today. But with the injuries he's dealing with, he's a tough man, and if he can go, he will go. But it's a tricky injury. Right now, I'm not sure. Okay. Thank you, guys.
All right, that's defensive coordinator Bill Davis. The last quote about Patrick Chung, of course, still undetermined whether he will play. This is going to go down toward the end of the week and potentially to game day. If you'd like to give us a call, please do so, 215-339-6709. Get some predictions about Sunday's game. The Eagles obviously going into this one armed and dangerous, ready to go out and beat the Denver Broncos. Tough, tough place to win on Sunday. When we come back to Eagles Live, we go into the locker room, hear from some of the offensive players and the defensive players as they get ready for Denver on Sunday.
Hey, Philly, what are you drinking?
We're drinking Dunkin'.
We're drinking Dunkin'. Go Eagles!
Dunkin' gives me the boost I need.
Pumpkin iced whipped cream, perfect for fall.
Medium hot, cream and sugar.
No other way to drink it.
America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour,
Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, $1 Million Spectacular, with five top prizes of $1 million. It's kind of fun to knock it out of the park. Keep on scratching.
Hey, Philly, what are you drinking?
Dunkin' all day. Go Eagles!
French vanilla, hot ice. Love them both.
Iced, of course.
Hot coffee, extra cream, extra sugar.
My city, my coffee. Philly runs on Dunkin'.
America runs on Dunkin'.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of long weekends and longer retirements. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
I'm Chip Kelly, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. You're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
The number, Eagles Live, the name of the show. We're back tomorrow at 11 o'clock in the morning. Eagles against Peyton Manning. It's the talk of the town, talk of the week. Eagles defensive players in the locker room discussing number 18.
I don't think there's a mismatch. I mean, you know, I'm going to be the nickel, and then he's a slot guy, so of course that'll be my matchup. Knowing the type of routes that he runs are intermediate and quick outs and those type of things, Peyton gets the ball out to him as soon as he turns his head around. That's where he gets his yards. And then, like he was saying, you know, you got to be able to tackle. You know, once he turns his head around and catches the ball, you got to get him on the ground, or he'll be in space and make you miss. So that'll be important.
I mean, that's what makes him a great quarterback. He can see the field. He can see things coming. He can read blitzes. He can change them in a good amount of time, you know, to get the ball off. I ain't worried about that. You know, we come here to play ball. You know, this is a game. We come here to play ball, and that's just something that we don't even care about that stuff. You know, as a team, we're going in there with a mindset to go in there and win. That's what they do.
We got to hold stuff, man, because, I mean, if you show him your hand right then and there, the advantage is in his hands, because, you know, he studies tape like no other, and, you know, he almost knows your defense probably better than you know it sometimes. So we just got to hold stuff and be disciplined. That's the main thing, be disciplined on things and just make plays and have tight coverage.
We just got to make sure as a front, you know, we got to get to him. You know, as soon as his first read is gone, we should be there. You know, if his first read's not there, we got to take away his first read. And, you know, we got to make sure we get some pressure on him and, you know, get him off his spot. Because, you know, he's somebody who's not going to really run around. He's just going to try to stay in there until he gets somebody open and throw the ball. So we got to make sure we do our part as a D-line to get up there. Just don't be in a rush. You know, we got to make sure we know exactly what we're doing, you know, as a game plan. And we just got to make sure we just trust what we're doing out there in practice. Because in practice, we'll hold it all day. But, you know, when the game comes, you know, it's a different output. We got to make sure what we do in the game, doing the practice, we do it in the game.
Now for the offense, obviously got to score touchdowns. Pat Shurmur talked about that earlier. Field goals are not allowed. Just kidding about that. But the Eagles need to be better in the red zone. and they also know that they're playing in a very hostile environment. Denver, not a fan-friendly place, at least to the opposing team.
Affect us? The altitude? I don't think it'll have an effect.
I'll reserve you the right to use it afterward.
Yeah, I'll let you know. I'll tell you afterwards if it affected us. I'll let you guys know.
Well, why wouldn't you? You talked about that first game, how you were going to use the oxygen tank more than ever just because of the pace, and now you're obviously in an area where
air quality is different. We'll probably use it this week, I would assume. I really haven't used it since the first game, the oxygen tank.
Okay.
I think that maybe just getting more into the shape of the way the game flows and everything might have played into that. You know, we'll see. Like I said, I've never played in the scenario before. I've never played in the higher altitudes. But guys that have, I've heard from a couple of them, pretty much all of them, that they don't think it makes as big of a difference as it's played out.
Is this game, you've had some high-scoring games here. Well, the last one wasn't, but, I mean, what's your general, just impression of playing these shootout-type games? I mean, do you guys like them? As an offensive player, or would you rather just have a...
As any player, I think you like it when you blow the opponent out. I think that's always the best victory. But they have a very good offense. They have one of the best quarterbacks in the game. They have a good defense, too. They're a very good football team. So we're looking forward to the challenge presented to us. And offensively, we feel like we can put up points with the best of them no matter who we're playing. So we just got to make sure that we take care of the turnovers, the mistakes, and everything like that. And we should be able to put up points.
Strange being in that position where people think the outside thinks that you guys have to catch up to their offense. Usually it's the other way around. Yeah.
That's...
Since you've been here, at least, this offense.
I think, Peyton's one of the best in the game, regardless of, he's been that way for the last decade. So he's always got the favorite, I guess, when it comes to the offensive matchups in the media's eye and everybody else.
I think my rookie year we went out to Denver.
Thin air. Anything to that? Or?
I don't think I really even played that game. I think I was inactive, actually. But as far as I remember, when I went out and did a workout before the game, I noticed it in the beginning of the workout, and then as you continue to go, you didn't really notice it as much. So I think, we might notice a little breathing in the pregame, but other than that, I don't think it'll be a problem.
Does it bother you if it's a week before the game and not many people outside the locker room giving you a chance for you guys to win there?
I don't really listen to people outside this locker room.
What does it mean that this is the first 4-3 defense that you guys are going to face this season?
It depends on what we line up in. A lot of the teams that we face have a four-man front. A lot of them have a four-man front, and they bring a safety in the box. So I guess, that turns into a 4-3. Nowadays the defenses are all – nobody really runs just one defense. It's all about matching personnel, and it seems like, the more you can do with their defense, the better. So we're just trying to get all the looks in and prepare for them. When you're game planning, you game plan stuff that's going to work against a 4-3. You don't game plan and say, wow, that's not going to work. Yeah, so let's try to run it some more, I mean, all the stuff that we're game planning is going to work, so.
I guess my question, are there areas that you can take advantage of more in a 4-3 front than when you're going against?
I think that every defense has their areas that you can expose. Not just depending on what the personnel is of the defense, but also the players out there. We'll see. As we go on this week, what those areas are.
Offense knows it's got a big challenge this weekend. Got to score some points to fend off the Broncos and Peyton Manning. When we return, our NFL insider from ESPN, Adam Kaplan, joins us in studio talking about the Eagles and the Broncos as well as a look at the NFC East. We're coming right back on Eagles Live.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans. Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Maybe I should get that.
Maybe you shouldn't.
Brian Urlacher?
I'm back to defend you from DirecTV's latest offer. With DirecTV, your bill more than doubles after a year.
Not cool.
And they lock you into a 2-year contract that could cost you over $3,000.
That's a lot of cheese.
That's why the smart play is Xfinity. They've got everything a football fan could want. Go long. Don't get sacked by DirecTV. Oops. Xfinity is your home for the most live sports. Call 1-800-XFINITY today.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified, authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows. We welcome in now Adam Kaplan, who joins us from ESPN, of course, and one of our regular contributors. And you follow this team since the start. Chip Kelly now faces a very tough assignment in Denver, Adam. How he responds, I think, is going to be really important to kind of how this season goes.
Yeah, and also his coaching staff. I don't think there's any question in the players. They've had some time off after last week's game, and that might help him, because I know talking to the players after the game, they were tired. One player told me he hadn't had a day off in a month, so this may help them. Of course, you have to now worry about not only the travel, the air in Denver. You've been there before. You know what it's like. This is something of a mindset. You have to get used to it. So it's a little bit of a challenge, but the bottom line is now, as you mentioned, this is a challenge now for not just Chip Kelly, but for the entire team. And this is a Denver Broncos team, David, is outstanding and a little bit better defensively than I thought.
Let's talk about the Eagles defense first. If you're Bill Davis, what do you want to try to do against Peyton Manning?
You know, historically, defensive coordinators talk about, Dave, getting, you know, stopping one guy or two guys, but you've got three receivers. Now you have this tight end, Julius Thomas, a college basketball player, now is coming to his own as a football player. So you have four really good passing targets. You've got a good offensive line, not a great one. Left tackle Ryan Clady's out for the season. That's where Bill Davis has to find an advantage on the Denver offense.
You want to take Peyton out of his comfort zone, and you do that by mixing things up, bringing a blitz every now and then. But there's nothing that you can show Peyton Manning
that
he has
seen,
not
right.
seen, and that he's beaten. He's beaten everything. You don't want to lay back on him, right? I mean, these guys average, look at that, 42 points a game. I'm really interested to see the mentality of this defense in this game. How aggressive will Bill Davis be?
You know, historically, people point to the 3-4 defense as giving Peyton Manning some problems. I think it's more about 3-4 defense giving the offensive line problems and throwing off Peyton Manning's rhythm. That's all you can do. As you said, Dave, and you're right, you're not going to fool him. You've got to disrupt his timing. That is the only chance that the Eagles have on defense because, as you said, they're scoring so many points. No one has controlled them yet. And what you want them to do is kind of like the game plan the teams would have against Peyton in Indianapolis. Let them run all day. Then you take your chances. If you cover them, as the Eagles did a good job against Kansas City, there were times when Alex Smith held on the ball forever. It's because they did a good job in coverage. Disrupt the timing of the receivers and tight ends also.
There's an element here, Adam, as you look at the Eagles defense, and they've made progress in certain areas. The red zone defense has been better. Third and long seems to be giving this team a lot of problems. When you look at it after these first three games, are you seeing a consistent theme here?
Yeah, it's the shallow crosses, the crossing patterns, passes in the middle that they're not disrupting the timing at all. They're giving space. You saw Donnie Avery, three big-time space plays. You talk about those third down plays. Everything across the middle where there's 10 to 15 yards of space. And the other thing that surprised me, is that when Kerry Williams had him a couple times, he backed off at the snap, and that's when Avery saw that, and I don't know if it was an option route or not, but he ran inside. That's something now that they've got to, and you see that right there. Look, yeah. That's incredible.
15 yards, 51 yards, 26 yards, 9 yards, middle, 15 middle. Yards, 4. Is that a scheme breakdown? Is it a flaw in the scheme?
I think there's a void. I think that's what coordinators call it, a void, what they have to correct on tape, and they'll do that. Billy Davis has been around a long time. He'll do that. Because when you play more press man, on those plays, they gave Avery a lot of room. They did not press him. Disrupt the timing of the receivers. And remember now, the difference between the Denver receivers and Kansas City receivers, size. Demaryius Thomas, 6'3". 87, Decker, 6'3". Okay, of course, we didn't talk about Welker, who's short, but he's in the middle. He's the best slot receiver of the National Football League. Then you have Julius Thomas, who's 6'5", and he is awesome. So they've got a major challenge. You've got to get physical with them. And don't forget, Bradley Fletcher and Kerry Williams are press man corners. And Patrick Chung is a physical if he plays. We'll see about that. But he's a physical player. Everyone must get physical in this game. That's got to be the theme, Dave.
Yeah, Adam, it's not just the defense that's going to stop Peyton Manning. It's the Eagles' offense, how they approach things, mm-hmm. the special teams, the field position. Chip Kelly, any sense of will he slow it down just a little bit? Will he keep going, go, and try to pile up the points? Does he have some sort of happy medium there as well?
This is the one game where you cannot score enough points. They're probably going to have to score in the 40s, I think, and we'll see if I'm wrong or not. Of course, I've been wrong in every game picking the Eagles games, but the tempo-wise, they've got to score as many points. I don't care about running the ball and controlling the clock. Every time they get the ball, no field goals, score touchdowns. They're going to probably have to score 7 or 8 touchdowns in this game.
Adam, what will this 7 or 8 touchdowns?
49 points. I think might have to win this game. That's 7.
What is this game going to tell you? What is this game going to tell you about the Eagles?
Well,
and maybe not just this road trip seems to me to be a really crucial point in the season.
I agree. This is probably the most difficult game. If you look at their entire schedule, this is the toughest matchup. They have some tough matchups. This is the toughest one. It's how they come out with that time off. If you look at the schedule now, this is the one game where you go, you know, this is going to be really, really tough. You see the rest of the schedule. The Giants are really bad so far. The Bucs are not good. Look at that. 3 out of their 4 games after Denver are teams that haven't won a game so far. And then Dallas looks good. They do look improved. But I don't want to judge them and say, boy, if they don't win this game, they're not good enough. It's going to be tough. This is I don't want to say impossible. I don't know how they could come out and win this game other than scoring a ton of points and getting some turnovers. Every once in a while, Peyton Manning has a game where you scratch your head and go, what happened here? This is the game where if you disrupt his timing, maybe you got a shot.
Adam, the NFC East is, well, it's a mess. I mean, the Cowboys are 2-1. The Eagles are 1-2. The Redskins and the Giants have yet to win a game. The Eagles very much in this division race. Mm-hmm. What's happening in the NFC East?
Washington, I came into last season thinking their defense was bad, and they got off to a terrible start. In fact, they're giving up a little less points than they are after 3 games than last season. But their secondary is terrible. They've got Brian Arakpo. They thought he would be a great pass rusher coming off his injury. He hasn't gotten it done. But their 4 starting defensive backs have been awful so far. Teams are taking advantage of it. And they're not getting the big plays on offense they expected. What they're doing is they're falling behind. And RG3 is putting up big numbers. But they're empty numbers. They don't really mean anything. Then transitioning over to the Giants.
Offensive line.
Their linebacker play has been bad. Their secondary. And how about their defensive line? Jason Pierre-Paul, Dave, coming off the back surgery has not been the factor that they thought he would be. They're not getting the pass rush. And they're not getting the running game, Dave. David Wilson's not getting the explosive plays. There's not one facet of the Giants team now you could look at and say, oh, boy, they're getting it done there. They're not doing anything right.
Who is more likely to get back on track, the Redskins or the Giants?
I would probably say the Redskins because I'm expecting their front 7 to be better. That's been a surprise. Here's the problem with the Giants. They're getting older, not younger. And their veterans who they're expecting to play well are not playing well. And that includes Eli Manning, who just can't find anyone who's can make a play.
And then the Dallas Cowboys at 2-1 here, Adam. They lose Anthony Spencer for the season. They've run the football well. Tony Romo has played well. How for real are the Cowboys?
I think they've taken to the 43 defense. I think DeMarcus Ware's looked great. Their secondary, which is deep, has played well. They've been physical. I want to see them go on the road and start winning on the road because they've looked good at home. But they so far are by far the best team in the NFC East. I don't think they'll drop off much. And you saw what happens when you get balance in offense, as they did against the Rams. DeMarco Murray had a big-time game. They're playing to the strength of their football team, is running and defense.
How many wins does it take to win the East?
9-7. If you're 9-7, you'll win this division.
Okay, I'll take that. Adam Kaplan, we thank you for joining us in studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Hey, Philly, what are you drinking?
We're drinking Dunkin'. We're drinking Dunkin'. Go, Eagles!
Dunkin' gives me the boost I need.
Pumpkin iced whipped cream. Perfect for fall.
Medium hot, cream and sugar.
No other way to drink it.
America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
For a little fun, you could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, $1 Million Spectacular, with five top prizes of $1 million. It's kind of fun to knock it out of the park. Keep on scratching.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of long weekends and longer retirements. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
Hey, Philly, what are you drinking?
Dunkin' all day. Go Eagles!
French vanilla, hot ice. Love them both.
Iced, of course.
Hot coffee, extra cream, extra sugar.
My city, my coffee. Runs on Dunkin'.
America runs on Dunkin'.
Jerry Azzanero, defensive line coach, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
We are back tomorrow, 11 o'clock, Eagles Live, and we'll kind of wrap things up. Busy week. Ike Reese joins me in studio then as we dig into Sunday's game against the Broncos. Game day coverage begins here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com at 2 p.m. We'll rerun our Eagles Television Network broadcast, and then at 3:45, it's the Eagles kickoff show. Stay with us throughout the day. Complete coverage of the Eagles and the Broncos from Denver, including our kickoff show, our halftime report, and our postgame show presented by Rico. Thanks for joining us today, everyone. Have yourselves a great Eagles day.